testimonies. A couple of quick testimonies. I'll give you like 3 minutes. Chris isn't here this morning to set the timer. They're out of town with family, he and Bonnie. But I don't know. It's kind of like when you hear testimonies, it encourages your brothers and sisters. And it gives you a chance to praise God. So, do I have a couple of testimonies? Look at this. We all can't do it. Well, maybe we could. Well, praise God. Well, Suzanne, come on up. I didn't have it going yet. Wait a minute. It's not doing. Glory to God. Hang on just a second. Hi, I'm Pastor Kathy Smith from Spirit of Truth Ministries in Shreveport, Louisiana. And we have a few people that just, I said, who wants to give a testimony? And everybody raised their hand, so we're going to, this will be for a limited time only. So, Suzanne, come on up and share what God did for you this week.
Praise God. I've got an awesome testimony fresh this morning. Well, it kind of started a few days ago. But, so, you know, we've kind of been having a financial thing that's temporary, subject to change, because we're believing to be debt-free. And so we know it's on the way. However, so in the struggle, though, you know, you just praise God. And I've just had such a peace. And so I think it was Saturday, someone handed me and Sam, $20. I'm like, praise God. Wow. Because the bank account is showing very, very low. And so anyway, Sam and I were like, you know, we've heard this saying for a long, long, long time, that if it's not enough to meet the need, it must be seed. Isn't that cool? That's neat. So I said, Sam, I just believe this is seed. So we decided to sow it. And so anyway, this morning we're getting ready for church. And we get, this was $20 seed. The seed that we decided to sow was $20. And this morning I got a Venmo for $200 before I ever sowed the seed. Woo! So, so check, somebody said, check your Venmo. And I checked $200 Venmo. I'm like, well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, God is just meeting the need. I believe God's doing something in our trusting Him for finances. It's a journey, and we're learning, and we just kind of have learned to just rest in it. I think Sam was there before me. You know, because I'm the finance person that checks the books. And so I'm like, okay, if we do this, we can do this. And if we do this, we can do this. And Sam's like, it'll be all right. It's all right. And so anyway, praise the Lord. So we're learning to rest in that. And praise the God. I know. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Who else? Somebody, I saw somebody's hand go up back in here somewhere. Jackie, come on.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Praise God that I'm here. I just thought about, I had said this week, I said, like, going to Spirit of Truth. I had already made up my mind I was coming. And so I was on my way here. When I turned on Juella, there was this some attack. And it was like, you don't need to go there. It was something telling me I did not need to come here. I pulled in the parking lot and it just got heavier and heavier. And I sat in my truck for a minute and then I just said, you know what? In the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind you in this way because I know I'm supposed to be here. And I just, and it just instantly lifted. It instantly lifted. And I praise God that I'm here. I love y'all. But that wasn't my testimony. That's one, praise God. But this was the one Thursday. Y'all know this is the end of school. So I had to take buses to Alexandria because that's where we lease our buses from. And we got on the road. We took 9 buses, and we brought 1 bus back. So I was driving. We got maybe about 25 miles back, and one of the drivers says, I don't have my keys. His truck. So I had to turn around and go back to get his keys. So we headed on back. We got to the school park, and I keep my keys on my belt loop. So when I got to the bus, I reached, no keys. I had left my keys in the window of the bus that I drove down there. So I called, and he did find them. He said, you want me to put them in the mail? I said, no, I got to have my keys, because that was my office key, my keys, house, everything. So when I got home, I was cleaning up, just decluttering some. And I remember, I don't know if it was the house key or what it was, but I had put it up. So I'm going to the house, looking. I lift it up on this thing. I had a house key and a truck key sitting right there. I'd already had an extra office key. So I had all the keys I needed. So I called them back. I said, put them in the mail and send them back. So they were where I needed when I needed them. Praise God. That was God. Yes. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. He takes care of us. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Even when we don't think we've got everything covered, God's got us covered. I love that. Anybody else had a testimony this morning? Yep. Yeah, you always do. Well, come on.
I love that. We always have good one. It's good. Thank you, Jen.
Well, praise be to God who always loads us with benefits. Our benefits not mercies, but we have things that are our blessings chase us down. And we are constantly being chased down by blessings. And so, usually I talk about my health, and there's something good about that, like every day to say. But I want to talk about the farm today. We have after all the bad weather that we had, after all the hail that we had, all that stuff, our fig trees are loaded. Our pears are still there. Our peaches are still there. Our blackberries are still there. Did I miss anything that's still there? Okay, other stuff, my husband's saying, other stuff. Persimmons, everything is still there. All the things that shouldn't be there because of the freeze and all the really bad weather that we've had, it's all there for all of us.
Yes, my goodness. That's the goodness of God. We live in a place of the goodness of God. God wants us to live in that place, not just visit. Did you have one too? Well, come on. This will be our last one. Because I'm off short. Live talking about the goodness of God.
Okay, so I had to take my dog to the vet yesterday, get his shots, paid it with my credit card, dropped my credit card, didn't know my credit card was missing. Vet calls me up a couple hours later and says, I have your credit card. She said, I put it up for you. I can either mail it to you or you could come get it. And I said, okay, thank you. That was God. Credit card, they could have used it.
Yes,
right. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Yes, awesome. Thank you. He takes care of us. I tell you, I have to talk to God every day because I go from this to that to this to that, from this vehicle to that one to this one, from this place to that place to, you know, all over the place. You know, like Jackie does, kind of all over the place. And I'm not very stationary. Praise God. Praise God. Well, some people, they go to just this one place, they're there all day, and then they go home. That's not my life. So I depend on the Lord. I go, God, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with it. You're going to have to help me. You know, and you're ready to go out there, you know where it is. It's a folder. It's something you need, or whatever it is. He's faithful. You know, he tracks us well, does he not? And he leads us where we should go. Yeah, I'm going to talk to you today about trusting God. How fitting is that? We're already on that page this morning. Trust in God. Man, you know, turn to Romans 8. Let's go to Romans 8. That's where I want to start off. Man, God, you're so good. That's not a cliche for me. I mean, when I say, God, you're so good, I mean it. He's only good. Some people have a wrong concept of God. He's only good. He is love. He's full of compassion. His mercies, they fail not. He is always reaching out to humanity. He always has. Remember all the times in your life when he was reaching out to you. It was just a gentle nudge, but we were so full of the world we didn't realize that was him. But it was. I'm so glad he didn't give up on me. I'm so glad he didn't give up on me. Aren't you so glad he didn't give up on me? And you too. In Romans 8, I'm going to start in verse 38. There's just a couple of verses here that I want to read. Is that I got the wrong one? Oh, in Romans 9, that's not going to do me any good, is it? It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That verse is full. Those two verses are absolutely full. I'm persuaded. You have to be persuaded. There's something when you finally say, nothing can separate me from my God. And there's a persuasion in there. It comes from the Word of God, and it comes from you seeing over and over and over the goodness of God. "For I am persuaded." My decision is I'm persuaded even if nobody else around me is. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels. Listen to all the beings that are included in this list. Angels nor principalities nor powers. That's the spirit realm. It's the physical and the spirit realm. That it's an impossibility for me to be separated from God. I take a lot of comfort in that. It's impossible for anything to come to separate me from God. Because when you're separated from God, you're separated from all kinds of things. Nor things to come, anything that would come down the pike even. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, anything that's not mentioned that God has created. That could be people. It could be anything. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you read verses like that, doesn't it encourage you to trust God? Yes. See, sometimes we think we're trusting God and we're not. We like to think we're trusting God. It feels good to us to think we're trusting God. We like to say it. When the rubber meets the road, are we trusting God? Are we really trusting God? Or are we fretful? Are we afraid? Are we all wrought up over something? Are we frantic? Or are we trusting God? If you're not going to trust God, who are you trusting for all the things you don't know? Who are you trusting to lead you and guide you in the way you should go? The media? Some friend? A person? No. We have a unique individual relationship with our God. I don't worship him from afar. I am worship. I worship him. My being worships God. I don't have to go to some place, do this thing called worship. No. I am a worshiper. Let his praise continually be in my mouth. That's how I feel. I have a precious saint who has started being my housekeeper because everything got so whatever. I just had to have some help. And she's precious. And she's a spirit-filled person. And I was just going through the house and I was praying in the Holy Ghost. And she heard me. And she began to laugh and everything. And I said, "Mukanda, What are you laughing at?" And she said, "Oh, I'm listening to you just praise." She interprets tongues, by the way. She said, "I'm listening to you. You are praising God. I hear you praising God." And she was just all about it. I just love her. She's a godsend to me. But I'm just saying, you know, there's this where when you're not doing anything and you think you're just praying the Holy Ghost, your spirit wants you to be praising God. So the Spirit's going to quicken you. You're going to pray in the Holy Ghost and you're going to be praising God. And it is for Him. I was downstairs. I was oblivious. She was upstairs. I was downstairs. And I was just busy. And she just loved it. She said it encourages her. It encourages her. We've prayed for one another and everything has been awesome. But I just want to share with you that we've got to get to a place where we're really trusting God. How do you know when you're trusting God? You're not thinking any evil thought. There's no thought you're willing to entertain. There's no thought you're willing to entertain that's different from what you know God told you. The devil will come up. Oh, he has a voice. And he sometimes will catch you unaware. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Like you were just on a high. You were praising God. You were having a wonderful day, whatever. And all of a sudden, boom, there it is, the attack. And he immediately begins to talk. Have y'all ever noticed it comes immediate? Immediately he comes to talk. That's when you got to take him down right there. As soon as you hear something, you know Jesus would not walk up to you and say. If Jesus would not walk up to you and say it, don't let it float around in your head because it'll keep talking. And it's not like you have to take authority over that stuff. I mean, right off the bat. And Jackie, I'm so glad you plowed through that voice this morning and made your way in here to be with us this morning. God loves us. He's for you. He's not against you. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is a destructive force. God is a builder. God's a creator. He's a builder. Yeah. He's already even built our home in heaven. He's a builder. And we are residents of heaven. We are sojourners here. Keep that straight. Well, I'm not supposed to fit in with everything here. That would be nuts. I'm not from here. My citizenship is in heaven. I'm a sojourner here. The Bible calls us a sojourner. In other words, a temporary resident. We're here just on a temporary basis. Don't ever get too attached to this world. You're not going to be here forever. None of us are. But boy, while I'm here, I want to represent where I'm from. I want to represent where I'm from. I sure do. I appreciate America. I appreciate the people. I mean, we're having a big family get together at our house today just to celebrate Memorial Day. My dad was a veteran. And, you know, just all the people, all the sacrifices that have been made so we could be free. When God got ready to make us free, He could only send one. He could only send one. He's worth honoring every single day. Every single day for what He did for us. He volunteered. Jesus wasn't drafted. It wasn't like Vietnam. People were trying to get out of going. Yeah. You know, it's like nobody wants to go to war. Nobody wants to do that. Jesus came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Are you living in the abundance yet? Or are you wishing you could get there? Abundantly is not necessarily material possessions. Paul said, I've become all things to all men that they might be one. That they may be one to Christ. He suffered the loss of all things. He said, I've suffered the loss of everything I ever had and worked for. And it's been well worth it. It's been well worth it. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. All the times He was imprisoned and beaten and everything. And yet he was always in praise of God. He was always in awe of God. He never was weary of God. He was weary kind of just the circumstances and how He was treating people or people that would rise up against Him or not listen to what He had to say. But He was never weary of God. He was never weary of serving God. He was never weary of loving the people of God. He wanted to see them come in to something better. He wanted them to learn how to trust God. In 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul said this to Timothy, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So there is a fight of faith in trusting God, because your flesh wants to jump up and make something happen. Your flesh wants to jump up. Well, if I do this, well, maybe it'll happen for me. If I do that, well, maybe this will happen. Well, if I do that, and God says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know I'm God. I can get you where I need you to be. I can get to you anything you need. You've got to learn to trust me with your life. And quit trying to do what I have purposed in my heart to do for you. Sometimes we're trying to do for ourselves what God already purposed in his heart to do for us. And we are in the way. Be still and know that I am God. Listen to him. He is speaking. He's always talking to his kids. Oh, he's good, he's good, he's good. He said, lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. He said, let that be your focus, your eternal life. Now, my eternity doesn't begin when I go to heaven. My eternity began the moment I trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I believed that he had paid for all my sin. Every stinking bit of it. Past, present, future. Because I had no way to pay for any of it. This is what grace is. Grace is a marvelous thing, you know. It's giving you what you don't deserve and what you couldn't do for yourself in the first place. What I've also discovered is that faith and trust are deeply connected together. You've got to have faith to trust. You had to have faith to come to Jesus. Believe that the word you heard about salvation was the truth. And I hope you heard the real deal. They flow together. Faith and trust. Well, how do we trust God if we don't believe he means what he says? Well, you don't. If you begin to question God's word, God, are you sure? Did you really mean? Yeah, but culture's changing, blah, blah, blah. He didn't really mean I could be healed. He didn't really mean by his stripes I was healed. Surely he didn't mean that in 1 Peter 2:24. Surely he didn't really mean that. He did. He meant every word. And he paid for it so we could have it. So that we could have an abundant life. Unhindered. That means an unhindered. Human relationships. He wants us to have consistent, meaningful human relationships with our family, our coworkers, our friends. And you'll discover that you can trust people with some things. You trust other people with more things. But it's rare to find somebody you could trust with just about anything. That's a rare find. But you can trust God with absolutely everything. You trust God with your health. You trust God with your finances. You trust God with your kids. God loves our kids more than we do. He does. You're not going to outlove God on any level. You pray for them that they discover the love of God. I tell you, the love of God has transformed my life. The reality of the love of God. I don't know how to explain it, but I had a glimpse one time of Jesus, and I've just never been the same. And a lot of times when I talk about his love, I begin to cry just because it's so tender. It was so sweet. And it's like his love will sustain you through anything. Anything you will ever face in this life, his love is enough. His love is enough to carry you, to sustain you, to uphold you, to strengthen you. Oh, yeah. You may look weak to somebody else, but you're tough as nails. You're tough as nails. Once you understand how much he loved you. That's so much easier. I always see Jesus ripped to shreds. I see him bleeding out. And I see him, and yet I see him in his compassion, and all through the scriptures, I see how compassionate he was. He would stop to talk to somebody nobody would talk to. Nobody cared. The religious leaders didn't care. But he did. He cares for the lowly. He cares for the ignored. He cares for the downtrodden. He cares for the weak ones. He cares when you're going through a trial. He cares. He deeply, deeply, passionately. He has scars that proves how much he cares. How many people can say that in your life? He's consistent. People might care today and tomorrow they'll be ticked off at you. Today you're in, tomorrow not so much. God is consistent. It's one of the things I absolutely love about the Lord is how consistent he is. He's always consistent. He does everything he says he's going to do because he can't not do it. Because it is not in the character of God to lie. He can't lie. The Bible says God cannot lie. So if God tells you something, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because you're standing on his word. You're believing what he said. It's going to happen. I mean, how many years have you prayed for your kids and then you begin to see some fruit finally? You stood. Well, it wasn't instant. Well, sometimes healing's like that too. You'll prevail if you just don't quit. But we don't think anything about that. It's kind of funny when it comes to healing or something. We always think, well, if I got prayed for, it just happened right then. But we get prayer for our kids, but we're not necessarily demanding it happen right that moment. We know God's got to work with them, right? There's some things I find that Christians are very impatient with God about. And other things, we're just so long-suffering. We're fickle. We need to be as consistent as God is. Aspire to be as consistent as God is in what you say, in what you do, who you are. That consistency. See, boy, that was an awesome meeting. Everybody's up, whatever. And then a couple of days later, it's like, well, where'd that feeling go? Your feelings are deceptive. You don't go by how you feel. Number one, you don't go by how you feel. You'll crash and burn over and over. If you go by how you feel, you go by what God's word tells you. And that's what you do. See, you're a spirit being. You're sensitive to other spirits that are around you is what it is. And God says, I need you to be more sensitive to me. Because if something's pulling you down, you need to track, number one, what have you been listening to? What have you been looking at? And where have you been? Those three things. What are you thinking about? What are you talking about? And where have you been? Where have you been? What have you been listening to? You have to track yourself. Because when we're in the Word and we're believing God, we feel great. So when you're not feeling so great, and see, your feelings are kind of fickle. Sometimes your body just is not the same. Your body isn't exactly the same every day. So you don't go by that. You can't. It's not dependable. God's word is what's dependable. If you're going to go by something, make sure you go by the word of God and not just how you feel that day. Or some remark somebody made. They can have free speech. They can say what they want to. They shouldn't have to dance around you. We might not like it, but it's true. But then, am I still okay? Is everything with me and God still intact? See, because this is what Jesus went through. This is what Paul experienced. You're going to experience the same thing if you're serving God. Yeah. Yep. and our relationships with God, we're to trust Him about anything we face and believe His word in the middle of everything. See, we say, well, I'm trusting your word, and then we get into something. And some of this stuff can be quite overwhelming in life. You know that. Am I going to trust Him in the middle of this trial? Can I trust Him in the middle of this trial? Or have I got to go someplace to get a feeling? Y'all understand? So I can something to pump me back up. Does your balloon deflate? Yeah. The purpose of His word and the purpose of praise is for your spirit to inform your mind where you're supposed to be. You are a spirit being. It's the most powerful part of who you are is your spirit, not your brain. Your spirit, everything that happens to you has to filter through your spirit and inform you. And if we're listening and paying attention, we'll understand that. The Word of God is meant to quicken us. And it will quicken your mortal body. But it's got to be filtered. Everything comes through your spirit. Everything's filtered through your spirit. I'm just telling you the truth. Your spirit knows the truth. And so when you're making remarks that your spirit goes, what are they saying? That's not the truth. That's not truth. Why would they say that? That's not true. Then you're in conflict with yourself. You're not having a conflict with God. You're having a conflict with truth. Gosh, I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. In our relationships with God, if we'll stay in His word, then His word will stay with us. Some people, when they're in a crisis, they can't think of a scripture. They don't have the word in them enough to be able to handle anything by the word of God. When your spirit hears you speaking spirit words, you are greatly fortified. Greatly fortified. When your spirit hears something that's not, it's not the same thing, is it? Because you're hearing, that means you're hearing another field. There's another voice speaking to you. And so God wants us to be one. He wants our brain and the way we think and the way we respond to be what comes out of our spirit and not out of our culture, not out of our feelings, not out of emotions. Because your emotions are mainly dictated by what you see, touch, taste, feel, all your senses of the flesh. And if you're governed by the flesh, you're not going to be moving very far in the spirit. Some people say, well, I don't want to go. I just don't feel that. I just don't feel very good today. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where's the word? Where's the word? By His stripes I was healed. Where's the word? Where's the confrontation with the accuser of the brethren that says, get off my body. Get out. Shut up. You're not telling me what to do. You're not telling me where to go. He wants to put a limitation on you. Remember, God's not done that. God, that's not God. And that God has already healed you and provided for it. It's already there. Just like salvation. I didn't have to try hard to get myself saved. I wasn't working and working and working every day to get saved. You don't work to get healed. You believe to be healed. But it'll take some determination when you're opposed. Is what it is. Satan will oppose you. Oppose him. Why should he get his way? Why should he have it his way? Right? I hate him. I hate what he does. I hate his mouthy deceptions. I hate the whispers that come at night. What do you say when your mind is going to something like that? Do you just allow yourself to just keep staying there and you just let him tell you all this stuff? Do you let him paint pictures ahead of you of what's really going to happen to you? Like he would know. He doesn't know. He's not in charge of you. You don't belong to him. He doesn't know squat. He's hoping that you don't know who you are. He's banking on the fact that so many Christians don't know who they are. Praise God, we know who we are. You know how we know it? His word told us that. So we have to be people that are in the word. His word, as you read it, pray it, meditate on it, aspire to live it, you will discover that you have been changing. It's kind of like I can't necessarily tell you the day and time when the last change happened in me. I just know it did. And I'm different. I can't tell you a day, time. I can remember where I was, but I can't tell you a day or time. And you became a different person. And you'll become a different person over and over and over as you grow. Your faith and trust in God has changed. It's grown. There's something that happened. It's like a... And this comes from being in the Word, y'all. It's like... You're not trying to change, you just do. Because you start believing the word. You just get full of the word, and all of a sudden you're changing. You're just changing. But it's not like you're trying hard to change. You're just changing. Because the word is doing it in you. The word is what changes you. So however much change you need, get in the word. Get into the word so he can continue to change you. And he'll change your attitude about things. The word of God will begin to change and sift through religion to get to what you really need. And what you really need to be hearing. What you really need to be doing. And you will begin to do it, and it won't be hard. It won't be like you're striving every day to do this thing. It becomes what you like. It becomes what you enjoy. It becomes part of your whole psyche and who you are. And you can't remember when you weren't that way. It's kind of like it's been so, I don't know, it's just like you just get into another place and you don't want to be the way you used to be or think about things the way you used to think about them. And so you just don't anymore. And it's gradual. It's a gradual thing. But every person at some point comes to the reality, I have to get into this word for myself. For myself. Because there's a lot of stuff that you'll hear, and it may or may not be correct. But you need to know. You need to know for yourself. And when you begin to learn that for yourself, you will begin to change. When you begin to change, circumstances around you begin to change. Because you were the one affecting it to begin with. That's how powerful we are as spirit beings. That when I change, some things around me begin to shift and change. They have to. They have to. Because I don't do, respond, or act, or want what I used to want. I don't want it anymore. So it's not up in my space anymore. Do y'all understand? So in order to grow and become more like Jesus, it requires reading, hearing, meditating, studying, speaking God's word, and having a godly response to God talking to you. Like, respond to God. Enjoy when he talks to you. Make room for him where he can talk to you some more. Oh, it's sweet. It's so sweet. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It makes your outlook and your day and everything so different. And you will fall in love with people. When you fall in love with God, truly, you will fall in love with people. And you'll think every time you're dealing with somebody, oh, Jesus loves them so much. And they become special to you immediately. Because you have been so loved by God. You have just been so loved by God. And you know, and it's like you just wallow around in that love. It's so sweet. It's so fresh. It's so kind. And you don't want to leave his presence. You don't want to do anything that's out of order. And if you do, boy, you'll nip it right there. I take that back. That's not God. You begin to correct yourself. It's a self-adjustment issue is what people have, really. Because unless we truly trust God, we won't see His Word as our answer for the complexities of life. People are looking for answers about issues and problems in life. They're in God, is all I can tell you. It's in God. You'll find your answers in God. You find them in God. He will direct you. He will talk to you. He will give you information. He will tell you what to do, where to do, how to do. He will show you who He wants you to be. And I can tell you right now, He wants you to be just like Himself. It's amazing. God has never asked me to fulfill any role, ever. He's always said, be like me. Be like me. Jesus said, come follow me. Come follow me. Do like I do, Jesus said. Be like me. He was the first of many. He was just the first. He wasn't the only. He was the only one who paid for the sin. But He was the first to show us how He wanted us to live while we were here. In the middle of a polluted world full of satanic mess. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says this. Trust, talking about trusting God. But faith and trust roll together. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all, how many ways? In all your ways. Your way of doing, your way of thinking. It could be your way of doing your banking. It could be your way, anything. In all your ways of doing, being. Things you think, well, that's just my personality. Maybe not. Maybe it needs to be deleted. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's where the rubber meets the road. Does God have all my heart? You can't trust God with all your heart if He doesn't have all your heart. If you want to have God but still have your own way, if you want to have God but be able to just say whatever you want to say, if you want to love God and have God have your heart, but you want to be able to pop off when you want to. Y'all understand? Then there's a conflict. If I give God all my heart, then I've got to trust Him with all my heart. Who has your heart? God. God. You gave your whole self to God. He owns you. He owns your heart. And I'm glad. It says, and lean not on your own understanding. In other words, you don't go by the media. You don't go by a weather report. You don't go by anything. You're leaning on Him, and you're waiting and listening for Him to tell you the next thing. Like, God, I don't know what to do. Don't act like you always know what to do. You don't always know what to do. And don't be afraid. Fear is killing more people than anything I know. It's just fear. Always afraid. And don't be afraid you're going to get it wrong. God didn't want you to be afraid about that either. He just doesn't want you to be afraid. Fear no evil, for I'm with you. My rod and my staff, they comfort you. Fear no evil. Don't fear evil. It's evil to fear evil. It means we're not trusting God. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in all of your doings, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct your paths. This is a promise from God, peeps. This is a promise from Him. He said, if you'll do this, I will direct your paths. And that word direct means to make smooth or straight. Something that's bumpy, something that's crunchy. Something that feels like tacks underneath your feet sometimes, your path. He said, I'll make it smooth and straight. God can come and make something glide. He can make something easier than our efforts. And when we already know that we don't always see the full picture, then it becomes clear that we really need to trust God. If you already know you don't always have the full picture, then why don't we just trust God? Worrying about it doesn't give you a bigger picture. It's not gonna make the screen bigger. Worrying. It's really difficult, if not impossible, to have faith in God without His Word in your heart. You will not trust God. You won't have the faith to trust God until that Word gets in your heart. Having the Word in your heart, I mean like way down deep inside of you, it's the relationship. See, the Word is your relationship with God. When we negate the Word, we're negating the relationship. They go together. Jesus was the Word made flesh, the Bible says. This Bible isn't just any book. It is supernatural in its origin and in its continuance. It is supernatural. Your Word, O Lord, is settled forever, the Word says. Trusting God requires our faith. Faith means, I don't see how God's going to do it. I don't see how this is going to happen. I'm going to believe it is anyway. Because God gave me a promise. And I'm going to stand on what He told me. And if somebody says something different, well, who are they compared to God? Who are they compared to God? Who are they compared to God? You get a report, who are they compared to God? Now, it's one thing to say, well, they know more than I know or something. Maybe not. You know God. Who are they compared to what God told you who you are, what He's called you for? Psalm 119:11. Your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your Word I've hidden in my heart, in the core of who I am. The thing that drives me, the thing that moves my needle, the thing that gets me up in the morning, that makes me want to get up in the night, that makes me weep for the lost, that makes me cry out to God, that makes me want to pray as long as I can in the Holy Spirit, as often as I can. Your Word I have hidden in my heart, in my core. It is the center of what you do. Your core is the center, and it's the center of your strength for everything that you do. So if the Word of God isn't going in your core, down in you, you're not taking it in and making it part of who you are. That's different than just having it in your head. Getting it in your core means you've moved into revelation. You've moved into a place of revelation. Y'all stand up. Sometimes I can feel something so strongly and it's hard for me to put it into words. Well, this morning I've really tried to put it into some words. Because God came to purchase something He really wants us to have. He really wants us to know. On a level that's beyond anything that we've known. It will require you spending time for yourself with your God in His Word. And hold it and say, God, speak to me. Your servant's listening. Just, where's your Bible? Hold your Bible up. Say, speak to me. Lord, your servant is listening. Speak to me, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak to me, Lord, your servant is listening. I'm listening. God, your Word is holy. It's true. It's the whole plan for my life. It's in this book. the how-to, how to navigate, how to navigate with God. It's in His book. It was written for our good. It was written for us to know. God did not leave us here as orphans. And He gave us a teacher, the Holy Spirit. So when you read something, he makes it plain to you. And He will quicken your spirit. He will quicken your spirit. Go, oh, and it's like your spirit lights up. And like it lights up. And you can read the Bible every year and you'll have a light up experience. Because it's from glory to glory. Glory to glory. God, I thank You for Your words. Your words are life-giving, life-breathing, life-sustaining. Oh, only You are God. There is no other. Nothing can separate us from Your love. Nothing can separate us. And I thank You, God, that we have that faith to trust in You with all our heart. That we will not lean on our own understanding. But in all our ways, we will acknowledge You. And You said You would direct our paths. It's so simple. Now, God, our choice is to believe You. And if that's you this morning, just raise your hand and say, I'm in. I'm in. I'm choosing Jesus. This is my choice. I'm in. I'm in. I trust the Lord with all my heart. This is my goal, that I learn to trust Him in everything. What I see, what I don't see, what I understand, what I don't understand yet. I'm trusting You. You're getting me there. You're getting me there. I'm on the journey. I'm at least moving. I'm moving. I'm on the journey. I'm not sitting down. I'm not sitting on my side of my bed feeling sorry for myself. I'm moving. I'm moving. I'm moving. And God will continue to move you. He will continue to move you. We should be ever changing, ever moving, ever becoming more and more like Jesus. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Bless His holy name. Bless Your holy name, Lord most God. Bless Your name. Bless Your name. Faithful, faithful God. Our faithful God. Faithful God. Trust in God. Trust Him. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Does anybody want some prayer this morning before we dismiss this morning? Doro seshatara. No shintos, kalabahaka. Stephen, did you have a word this morning? Okay. Anybody want any prayer this morning? We got to learn to tap.